take a moment to stretch up and settle in. Straighten your spine, but let the whole body be relaxed. Your face smooth. The jaw drops a bit. The shoulders naturally come down. The arms are limp and loose. The hands a bit heavy. The muscles in your legs don't have to hold you up. They can relax because you're seated. The spine is aligned, holding you upright through effortless balance. Everything else just hangs limp and loose, creating a quality of relaxation. You may experience that relaxation in just one part of your body, or it might move from place to place within your body, or the relaxation may be over your whole body. Focus all your attention on relaxing into the stillness of your posture. Every few seconds, contact at least some part of your body that is relaxed. Focus on that. And then either continue to focus on that one part or let yourself be pulled to some other part that's relaxed. You can create this relaxation anytime you want by stretching up and then letting the whole body settle. Concentrate on the pleasant sensation of being relaxed in your posture. To help you do this, if you wish, every few seconds at your own pace, you could say to yourself, feel rest. Or the equivalent in Hebrew. Feel means you're experiencing in the body. Rest is what you're experiencing. The repose. The relaxation, the settledness in your posture. as you do this, you will be aware of non-rest. You'll have visual thoughts. You'll have mental talk. You'll have physical sensations. Perhaps you'll have emotional sensations. You'll hear external sounds, and if your eyes are open, you'll see external sights. That's fine. Let non-rest arise. Totally give permission for non-rest to arise. But don't intentionally focus on it. Keep bringing your attention back to physical relaxation in your posture. The feel rest. May be very small relative to the intensity of non-rest. That's okay. Just keep bringing your awareness back. Maybe the relaxation will just be in one small part of your body. That's all. Maybe it will spontaneously move from place to place within your body. Maybe you'll feel it over your whole body at once. Any pattern is fine. You don't need to get rid of non-rest. Just selectively focus on feel rest. anytime you want, you can create more rest in the body. You can stretch up and settle in again. And tune into the relaxation that that creates. You can intentionally smooth your face, drop your jaw, loosen your shoulders, limp your arms. You can also find rest. The legs, they're not working to carry your body. And each time you breathe out, from beginning to end, the muscles in the rib cage and the diaphragm automatically relax a little bit. When you breathe in, muscles work. When you breathe out, muscles relax. Gravity does the work. Gravity and the elasticity of the tissues, the spring of the tissue. So the out-breath is by nature a subtle relaxation in the core of your being. It's always there. You may be able to detect that. Continue to focus on the restful quality of being relaxed in your posture. The longer we do this, the stronger non-rest will become. At some point, physical discomfort will be an issue. If you wish, you can move, you can stand in place to relieve that. When your attention is pulled away, gently return to feel rest. Find it or create it, note it, focus on it continuously. By doing this, you're developing concentration power, the ability to focus on what you wish. Give permission for non-rest to expand and contract as it wishes. You're letting non-rest arise without resistance. You're letting it pass without holding. This is the skill of equanimity. And you're clear moment by moment. You're detecting rest in the body. You're developing one aspect of sensory clarity, the ability to detect restful states. Restful states are always present in daily life, in the body, in visual experience, and often in auditory experience. But people don't know how to detect it. You're developing the clarity to detect it. You're developing the concentration to hold it. You're developing the equanimity to allow other things to arise without fighting them, without interfering. Okay, good. Good work. Now stay with the momentum of mindfulness as we transition into a more active phase. So this is the beginning of the technique that I call feel rest. You can read details about it in the chapter in the manual. I would like to open it up now for any questions or reports or comments on what we have just done. You can raise your hand and feel free. Yes. Talk loud.
I'll try. I'd like to ask what would you do in a case where the distinction between concentrating on feel rest and just getting more sleepy? Or
yes, very good. What's the distinction between concentrating on feel rest and just getting sleepy? Well, when you get sleepy, there's good news and there's bad news. When you get sleepy, you get very relaxed and peaceful, and you go deep, deep in consciousness. That's the good news. The bad news is there's no awareness of it. You're unconscious. So a restful state is like being asleep, except you're conscious moment by moment. You feel rest in the body. Each moment, there's a clear awareness. This part is relaxed. This part is relaxed. The whole body is relaxed. So there's a continuity of clarity. And that makes it similar to sleep, but completely different. And that reminds me, I need to, by the way, just as I let you take notes, I have to take notes on my own talks, because sometimes I forget things that I need to say. So, is that a sufficient answer to your question? Good. Let me say this. There are two challenges to meditating. One is that, there are many challenges. here are a few of them. One of the challenges is that you get lost in thoughts, agitation, mental agitation. With this particular technique, if that happens, just let the thoughts occur, but come back to the rest. Another challenge is discomfort comes up in your body, especially if you sit for a long period of time. With this particular technique, if you have physical discomfort, you can either shift your posture, stand in place, move a little bit, perfectly okay, relieve the discomfort, or you can try equanimity. Say, okay, just let the body be uncomfortable, but I'm going to come back to the restful state. You can learn from either one. You can learn from easing up. You can learn from bearing down. Another challenge to meditation is sleepiness. And that's going to come up because you might not be used to getting up at 5 in the morning. And also, your body may not be used to being still, but also awake. So sometimes when we get still, the body thinks, oh, time to go to sleep. So sleepiness is probably going to come up at some point in your meditation. Depending on the technique that you're doing, there are different ways to work with sleepiness. I already gave you a few tips. Straighten the spine. When it wilts, straighten it again. When it wilts, straighten it again. Open your eyes. You can meditate with your eyes open as well as closed. Open helps with alertness, but it might be a little agitating. Closed helps with restfulness, but you might go unconscious. So if you have trouble going unconscious, open your eyes. However, there is one more thing that you can do with this technique to work with sleepiness. Sleepiness is not solid. It comes in waves. You get more sleepy, then you get a little less sleepy, then another wave of sleepy, then it goes away. It's like waves on the ocean. So when a wave of sleepiness comes up, your body automatically relaxes a little bit. That's why when sleepiness is strong, your body lurches like this. So each wave of sleepiness causes a wave of feel rest. If you detect that wave of feel rest and concentrate on it, then the sleepiness will just take you into deeper and deeper states. But if you don't detect the feel rest that comes with the wave of sleepiness, then that wave of sleepiness will pull you under. You'll go under the water of unconsciousness. So one little hint is if you deal with sleepiness, try to see that it actually can help you feel rest. So you make a friend out of the enemy. Okay? So a lot to say about that. Yes?
The instruction was to focus on the relaxed body part. At the moment, personally, there are more non-relaxed parts of my body than relaxed. So why not concentrate on them, since also I think painful is much more easy to detect, I think, rather than relaxed.
So did everyone hear? It's like, well, the relaxation is not very strong. I've got all this pain. Why not focus on the pain because it's more clearly present, stronger, and it's something productive to work with? And the answer is that there is no reason whatsoever not to focus on that pain. However, that is a different technique from the technique we're now doing. So remember I said there's good news and there's bad news, that I could give you a lot of clarity, but the price is complexity. In this manual, there is a description of how to incorporate pain into the practice, but it's a different technique, another option. If you want to learn that, read the chapter called Focus Out, and it will describe to you how to work with physical body sensations. So, yes, you could totally do it, but that would be a different technique. And I would have to teach you that technique. When I teach you that technique, you might have some pleasant, restful experience while you're focusing on the pain. And then you would ask me, well, why can't I just focus on the pleasant rest? Why do I have to focus on the pain? And I would say, because that's the technique that I'm teaching you. Okay? You might say, well, why limit your focus? Why not focus on everything, whatever comes up? There's a technique called focus on everything in here. If you want to do that, you can learn a lot. But that's another technique. Now, we already have three techniques, and you haven't even begun to understand the first one. Complexity. But I can give you clarity. I can tell you how to optimally work with one little piece of experience or all of experience, with pleasant, with unpleasant. Totally up to you. So if you want to read the section in here that describes a different technique, you are very welcome to do that. But when I instruct a specific technique, then there's going to be instructions just for that. All makes sense, right? But excellent question, and good for people to hear, and a very reasonable question. Yes?
Is it important to make a mental note of fear rest, verbally to make a note of it, or just to feel it?
Excellent. Excellent question. So now I apologize. More complexity. I am going to define noting for you. So noting is a process of acknowledging and focusing on various sensory experiences. Sometimes you might be working with just one type of experience. It's very narrow. Right now we're only noting feel rest. Other times, you might be noting a wide range of experiences. The process of noting involves acknowledging that a sensory category is present and then intently focusing on it, unless it disappears immediately, in which case you can only acknowledge it because it's gone as soon as it arises. To aid the process of clear acknowledging, you have the option but not the requirement to make a mental label. Option but not requirement. In other words, the way that some mindfulness teachers do not distinguish noting from labeling. They always want you to make a mental label. However, for me, noting labeling is an option that you can do when you note or not, as you wish. The important thing is the clear acknowledging and the intent focusing, which, unless it disappears, in which case there's only time to acknowledge it. So the quick answer to your question is that it is not required to make a mental label. You can just be aware. That's clear, isn't it? At least that's the way I like to set up the noting. Now, I say intently focus. There are actually, for just a couple seconds, you have what in Pali, the classical language of Buddhism, what is called Kanika Samadhi. Samadhi means high concentration. Kanika means for just a moment. So a momentary high concentration on the thing that you are noting. There are two ways of going about that intent focus. One is active, the other is passive. You choose which works for you. For some people, the intent focus is active. You're intentionally pouring awareness on that sensory event. For other people, the intent focus is passive. You don't pour your awareness, you just let the event concentrate you. You can do the noting in either an active way or a passive way. Some teachers describe it more active. Upandita, who's a very famous teacher in the Mahasi lineage, which is where noting comes from historically. Upandita describes the intent focus as like shooting an arrow into the sensory event. So the clear acknowledging is aiming, and then you fire the arrow of mindfulness, and it penetrates the target. So that's a very active metaphor. However, more passive metaphor is that there's a clear acknowledging, and you don't have to do anything. The object itself grabs you and concentrates you. So whether you do it with more active way or more passive way, in traditional Buddhism, is called balancing the effort, okay? Virya. If doing it actively gets you too agitated, then do it more passively. But if you're doing it passively, you start to get sloppy and unconscious, then do it a little more actively. So you have options. You can vary the settings on this exercise equipment, so to speak. That's my metaphor. Was that a sufficient answer to your question? Was that enough answer?
There's a second part to it, perhaps, which is when I focus on the event, it's not clear if I'm focusing on something that's really there. Sometimes it just disappears, or I'm not even sure if it's restfulness or tension.
Okay. So sometimes I'm not sure if what I'm focusing on is really there or not. Sometimes it disappears very quickly. Sometimes I'm not sure what category it belongs to. So you actually mentioned three things. So each of those three has its own answer. Once again, I apologize. Complexity, I did warn you. Yes. Yeah, way too complicated. Too fast. Oh, okay, good. Okay. Michal, if I talk too fast, slow me down, that's good. It's also okay if you skip some of the historical detail. Can you hear me okay in the back? Okay, good. If you're not sure of the category, just guess, because we're training clarity. And the clarity comes with time. So it's okay to guess. If it disappears immediately, that's good. That's impermanence. Just let that happen. Is this pace okay, Michal? Okay, good. Sometimes people ask, I'm not sure if it's really there or I'm just imagining it. That's a very common question. From the viewpoint of my system of mindfulness, it doesn't matter. We're only interested in what appears to be there. Okay? what appears to be there is the sensory experience we're focusing on. So if it appears that something's there, then that can be noted. You don't have to ask yourself, is it really there or not? If it seems to be there, then it is a sensory event. And we're interested in noting sensory events. So you never have to bother asking yourself, is it really there or not? Okay?
Can you repeat? You say it's a way to guess. You mean in what category the experience
belongs? That is correct. If you're not sure what category it belongs to, just guess. At the beginning, we're unclear. That's why we're doing this, to get clear. So by guessing with time, you get very clear. Good. These have all been good questions. Yes?
When I get into rest, should I feel only my body, or does it good when I saw image, your voices, does it part of the practice?
Very good question. The question was, when I focus on rest, I need to check the time here. Oh. When I focus on rest, should I also include some other things? Other sensory events, you said mental image and...
Yes, and voices.
Voices, meaning your mental talk?
Not like a mental talk, like voices from...
Sounds.
Hearing them, not creating them.
Sounds outside.
External sounds?
Words within myself, when it feels like they're coming from outside.
Yes, I understand. Okay. So, I'm going to teach you four ways of working with rest. The first one that we're learning tonight and will continue tomorrow, you only focus on the body rest. So that's feel rest. You ignore everything else. You don't focus on it. Then I'm going to teach you how to focus on visual rest. And when you do that, you ignore, you understand ignore?
Yes, yes.
Everything else, you just focus on the visual rest. Then I'm going to teach you auditory rest. When you do that, you just focus on auditory rest.
If something comes, should I shut it down, not postpone this?
Good question. If something comes up, should I shut it down? No. Don't shut it down. Just turn your awareness away from it. Let it be there. But you focus back onto the restful state. You find the rest and you focus on it. We don't shut it down because we're trying to learn equanimity. We're trying to learn to allow sensory experience to arise if it wants. So you do focus away from the distraction. You pull yourself back to rest. That you do. But you do not try to shut down or stop the distractions. So I'm going to teach you how to just work with feel rest, then just work with see rest, then just work with hear rest. After we have become familiar with each of those individually, I'm going to teach you how to focus on all rest at once. So you're working, you just go from see rest, hear rest, feel rest, no matter what comes up, whether it's visual, auditory, somatic, you can go to a restful state with that. That's going to be the fourth technique, which will come in a few days. We're going to build gradually. So whenever you have a question, a question. When X happens, what should I do? That kind of question. Okay, X can mean anything. When X happens, what should I do? You have to state the question more specifically. You have to say, when I'm doing technique Y and X happens, what should I do? Because depending on the technique, the strategy, the response will be different. So when we're doing feel rest, if you have some pain, what should you do? Come back to the feel rest and just let the pain be there. But if we're doing some other technique, and you have pain, the instruction might be different. So, good. Any other? Yes.
I'm confused about the distinction between noting something and labeling, because as I understand, when I notice something, the minute I notice it, there comes the name with it, like we're human beings, so we label everything, and this is when we acknowledge something. No, I don't see the distance between noticing, acknowledging, and labeling.
Okay, so here's the question. Excellent question, I totally understand it. I don't understand the distinction between acknowledging and labeling, because for a human being, as soon as you acknowledge a sensory event, you are already having a word that describes that. So, the distinction is in whether you're intentionally labeling or not. Okay? You have the option to intentionally label, or the option not to intentionally label. Now, I know you're confused. Just listen carefully. There's more to say. I'm going to go through it piece by piece. For an adult human being, it is very common that as soon as you have a sensory experience, some mental talk automatically arises that is related to that. So you're quite correct. And actually, that's a good insight. That's an insight into the pattern in an adult human. In most adult humans, each sensory event triggers a mental comment. Now, I say an adult human being because a child that has not yet acquired language definitely acknowledges all the sensory events, but without those comments. In fact, in English, we call a young child an infant. Most people don't know the origin of the word infant. It's from Latin, infans, which means the one who does not talk. That's what an infant is. Infant doesn't talk outside, infant doesn't talk inside, but infant has sensory experience. So it is possible that an adult human being could become very quiet mentally and have, acknowledge all the sensory experience the way an infant does, and that automatic mental talk might not happen for a certain adult human being. If you find, so labeling is something you do intentionally. The mental comment is something that happens automatically for most people. So if you find that automatically you want to make the mental talk, that's okay. But make sure that it's just the label, feel rest. Mm-hmm. Okay? The other mental talk, like that's good, that's bad, I want more, ignore that. So if you find that you cannot not label, that's okay. Just then label. But if you have control over intentionally labeling versus not, then you have the option to intentionally label or not label. You may not be able to control your mental comments about things, but that's not labeling. Your mental comments are just, they're a sensory event. Labeling is a disciplined procedure where you use certain words to help with clarity. Did that somewhat answer your question?
Yeah.
Good. Took a little time, but now it's clear. And that's the way it's going to be all week. Okay? It's going to take a little time, but at the end it's like, oh, I know what I'm doing here. Okay. So we are now in silence. I would encourage you, from the time you wake up in the morning to the time you fall unconscious at night, to continuously have some meditation technique. Doesn't matter what it is. If you want to focus on rest, you can. But try to be intentionally meditating all the waking hours. So this is practice in stillness. Moving around in the world, that's practice in motion, okay? So we're going to attempt to come back to some kind of meditation technique all day, every minute. But it can be whatever technique you want. So when you're eating, it's eating meditation. When you're walking, you can do whatever technique you want. It's walking meditation. When you take a shower, when you go to the bathroom, whatever you do. So in the Buddhist temples in Japan, the meals are called rice sit. Okay? You're supposed to be just like you're sitting in the meditation hall, but you're sitting with rice. Rice means food, right? So, because that's the main food in that part of the world. So in other words, the eating is supposed to be no different from what happens in the meditation hall. So we're going to, I don't know if we're going to have rice, but maybe here we'll call it tchina set. We always have tchina. So we're going to do the yeshiva shel tchina. Maybe that's not good Hebrew. But you get the general idea. This book describes several dozen strategies. Some of them are particularly well suited to practice in motion and so forth. So whatever technique you would like to do, yalla ochel.